Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your just absolute amazing grace that you show to us, that you work within us. Lord, draw us into your presence, that we would see how valuable we are and how valuable each other is to you and to us. Lord, we thank you and praise you, and ask that the words of my mouth, meditations of all our hearts, would be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. With things like Facebook today, I don't know how many are on Facebook. Probably a lot of people. Surprised. There's a lot of people that are. But our younger kids, I know the high school kids, and right about our Tim is our youngest one, they're kind of leaving that. They're going more over to other mediums, Twitter, Snapchat, things like that, you know. But what I was thinking is, put all those things on there, you know, if you went back and you could look at everything that was posted, you went back years, and you looked at all the things that are posted, there might be some actual embarrassing things on there that you might have to live with. And they were great in the context in which you shared them, but they might fall under judgment of some sort. Maybe if you're trying to get a job or in some other situation in a different, if it were a different situation. There was this young guy I heard about a couple years ago who tried to sell a picture of his sister on eBay. And he was trying to give her a hard time. He was trying to embarrass her. So he got this really tacky yearbook picture. You guys got really tacky yearbook picture? Yeah. Some of them are pretty bad, but so anyway, he found this and he put it on eBay, and of course nobody wanted it except one person. The person that bid on it was the girl's grandma, and the picture was very precious to her. She didn't care what the picture looked like because she loved the person that was underneath. When we merely look at the surface of things, not really looking at the plans and the purposes that God has for people and has for ourselves and is working in this world, there is a tendency to sell a person cheap and not be able to see them as they really are. Now, how can we understand? How is it possible for us to begin to understand the value that God places on us? In Malachi 3:17, I want to look at our Old Testament reading. He gives a statement. The Lord says, "They shall be mine. In that day, I will make them my treasured possession." The expression "treasured possession" is just one word in the Hebrew language. And the basic meaning of that noun is property, personal property. In the Ugaritic and in related languages and in that time, it was a rather common word. It wasn't too unusual. It meant the property that you value, that you owned, and that was yours personally. But the word only occurs 8 times in the Old Testament. And 5 of those references refer to Israel specifically as the prize jewel, the prize possession of God. In 2 of those other instances, it refers to the possession of kings, and not only their possessions, but their private possessions. For example, David was collecting all sorts of wealth and gold and silver to build the temple of God. When all that was done and they were getting ready to build that temple, he came forward in a public speech and he said, "Now I'm going to give from my private possessions," using this word. "The stuff that is most valuable to me, that you guys haven't even seen, I'm going to bring this forward because this is the most precious thing to me. And I'm going to give this to the building of God's temple," he said. You know, humans' value, human treasure, is in material objects. That's how we value things. But God is very different. Consistently in Scripture, what we see is that God treasures human beings. He treasures us. Now, how would you know if you're God's treasure? How would we even know that or understand that? A good example is from our gospel reading. In our gospel reading, there are two thieves. They were crucified with Jesus. The men, both of these men, are guilty of robbery. They are suffering the exact same punishment. One of them didn't expect God to deliver him at all. The other one had a very different look at things. He looked to God to help him. Not because of anything he had done. I mean, you really can't get much worse in this world than a thief on the cross. It's pretty bad. And the one didn't ask God to deliver him, and even more than that, he was angry at God. He was angry for how things had turned out. And I have to admit, look at myself, if you think about yourself and think about other people, it is probably normal for us to get angry, to get upset, to get stressed and worried when things don't turn out the way that we think that they should. That's the tendency that we would have. But the other thief came to a completely different idea of things. I believe that the Spirit of God had planted the idea within his heart that God was willing to help him. He said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus told him back, he says, "Truly, you will be with me in paradise." God wants you to know, he wants me to know, that we are of infinite value to him. He wants you to rely on him when things get tough. He wants you to know that you can have your total trust in him and he will deliver you. He will help you. One thief looked at his life and it was bad. And he didn't think God could do anything with it and he died. The other thief, God had given him such a different vision of who Jesus Christ is and what God could do for him. Note that Jesus at that point could have pulled out a 10-point sermon on thievery. And he could have said, "Yes, you did this, and you're a thief, and you did this wrong," and so on and so forth. He did none of that. He listened. He heard. Exactly what Malachi is telling us. The Lord listened, and he heard them. He listened to his cry for help. No one in this world can possibly know all of the loveliness, the beauty that God is while living in this brief little life. But every single day we should make up our minds to know about Jesus Christ. Discover who he is. Make it your goal to discover all that he is, all that he plans for you, all his goodness and grace. Do you have any idea how attractive you are to God? You know, I think one of the greatest hindrances to our walk with him is the sense that we are repulsive to him because of our sin. Now, when one of our sons, who will remain nameless, he would eat, and he was a spectacle. I mean, when he ate, food went everywhere. I mean, absolutely everywhere. We had plastic on the floor. We had plastic on the high chair. We had plastic on the table. And he would just eat, and food would fly. And, you know, y'all take movies of your kids, right? Especially with the first couple of them. You're fascinated by that. We have more movies of him eating than anything else. We thought it was fascinating. So what we would do is when he was done eating, Jill would pick him up out of the high chair and carry him straight up to the tub. And in the tub, we would wash off all the mess, but we would keep the boy. We would reject the mess, but we kept the boy. You know, yes, you have sinned. Yes, you have broken God's heart. But you are still at the center of his affections. You are his special treasure. It is he that pursues you with his forgiving heart. You know, some people will say, I found the Lord. But the truth is, really, the Lord found us. And Malachi 3:17 says, they are mine, says the Lord Almighty. In that day I will make them my treasured possession. I will spare them just in compassion, as a man spares his son who serves him. God is using parenting terms to help us understand how much and what we mean to him. We are valuable members of God's family. Which also means we are valuable to each other. We are valuable members to each other. And have you ever wondered what the Lord thinks when God's children get together and they talk about the Lord? We do that here at church. What about at the workplace? You ever have that opportunity? I pray that you do. And you just get a chance just to talk to your a fellow workmate or somebody that's close to you. Just get to talk about something that's happening in their life. Maybe have a time of prayer. But you just get an opportunity to talk about the Lord, about his goodness and his grace, or how he's gotten you through a difficult struggle, a loss, a death, or whatever it is. But those testimonies are so beautiful when we speak about him. And when we talk about him to another, God, it says in Malachi, actually has a book. He has a book that he especially written, and he writes down all of those things. They're precious jewels to him. He writes down those conversations, and he keeps them, and he looks at them, and he rejoices in them. The Lord loves to hear his children talk about him. He really does. And his wonderful acts of love. And that's why the enemy loves to cause division. That's why the enemy loves to come into churches and in denominations and in big and small. That's why he does, because he wants to not let God have that joy. And he wants to steal it from him. He wants to steal it from us. But God says, this is my gift to you. You are my children. You're in my family. And I love just rejoicing to hear you talk about me. The fact is that we will never, ever agree on anything and everything. We might come to agreement on certain important things, but in marriage, you're never actually going to have 100% agreement, and it's not going to be possible for us to actually have 100% total unity. It's just not possible in this world. But it is especially noteworthy to God when we put aside our different points of view. When we decide that we are going to put someone else first, when we put that first and foremost, and we focus on the key element, which is to speak love, to share, to love, to worship God. Those are blessings. I found this story. It goes back to early church times. And there were two friends, and they had dwelt together for many years, and they never quarreled. And one of them said, well, let us pick a quarrel one with another, as other people do. Well, I don't know how to quarrel, said the one, to which the other replied, so then, this brick, let's put this in the middle of us. And then say, this is mine, to which I will say, no, it is mine. And then we can begin quarreling. So they placed the brick in the midst of themselves, and one said, this is mine. To which the other said, if this be so, take your brick and go in peace. So they couldn't manage to quarrel. We might not always agree, I get that, and that's true, that's part of life, that's the reality, but we can make the choice to trust, to believe, to look to God, to believe in his grace, to believe that we are his treasures. And we are his chosen and lovely people in Christ. You know, God's treasures are not in a bank. They're not in a safety deposit box. They're not in bricks and mortar. His real treasure is right beside you. It's your brother and sister. We are the walking treasures, jewels set apart for him. The lesson from Malachi teaches us that we are incredibly valuable to God, valuable to each other. We don't always see it clearly like that. And when we don't always see it clearly, it affects how we relate to God and it affects how we relate to others. Now, if you feel hindered in your relationship with God, or if you feel hindered in your relationship with someone else because of something that you have done or something they have done to you, I want you to know that you are not alone. I haven't met a perfect person yet. The important thing is that you go forward to get to know God, who He really is. Not how you think He is or how people might say He is, but how He really is. He always will discipline you in love. He is faithful. He is generous. He is kind. He just loves you. He longs to spend time with you. He wants you to receive His love and to know that you are a special and unique person to Him in Christ, and that others around you are too. It says in Malachi, those who fear the Lord talk to each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in His presence concerning those who fear the Lord, honor His name. They will be mine, says the Lord. In that day, I will make them my treasured possession. I will spare them, just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let's rise.